It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's your FM dial, 98.5 on your FM dial in Boston. We simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime, anywhere on the app. 98.5, the Sports Hub app. The stream pops right up when you download that puppy. It has also has all the replays, so if you miss anything, it's all up that night. We start with some Red Sox. We'll get into some other stuff as we go forward as well. I got calls on the Celtics and Bruins on the board, so we'll get to those. But let's follow up on the Sox here to lead off the hour and go to Rob in the recliner on David Price. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Maz, before my point, you said sales paid to pretty much hold them, the other team, to zero. I would say Price might be. Sales only making $9.5 million. He's not exactly getting paid to do that.
Okay, but that's a bit of a fluke, Rob. He's the ace of the staff. So I'll tell you what, take the money out of it. As the ace of the staff, he's expected to win against good pitching.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there. He's not getting paid that way yet.
No, so it's fair, but he's the ace.
Yes, yeah, he was acquired to do that. I gotcha.
Okay, is that it?
No. Now to the other guy, to Murray on this. You pointed this out, I think, like a year ago. That this dude's a freaking sadomasochist. He brings on the paint. Like, he does this all on his own. I think does he live with his mother-in-law? Like,
he lives with the mother-in-law. The two dogs, the child, the wife, and the mother-in-law. Like, you definitely want pain in your life if you've invited the mother-in-law to live with you.
he's just a peach. I mean, the reporters are all asking him nice stuff about how well he's pitching, and he's just, you know, no, you isn't, you know, no, I ain't no all-star.
Screw you guys.
I don't want accolades. I need to flog myself.
I don't like you guys.
It's your hate that drives me.
You guys are setting me up for the big fall.
Mark in Andover. Go ahead, Mark.
Michael.
Yes.
Not Amada. He's going to do something with Swihart. The kid is an athlete. Put Benny in center field. Put Swihart. Get him some at-bats. I think he's got such a positive upside. If you take a look at the way he was in the spring, how he's been in the past, how we threw him off the rails in regards to going from center field into left field and all those other little projects. He's an athlete. I think he's got so much upside. He's already in-house. Bradley, great defensively, but I'm telling you.
Somebody stop you. Swap out Bradley for Swihart, moving Benintendi to center and Swihart to left.
So, look, again, I like Swihart. To me, that's an option. I would do it. But, you know, I don't think they've given the kid really a fair chance, but what's he hitting? I mean, like, he hasn't done the most with the opportunities they have given him either. You know, he's at .149. Like, you know, so it's hard for people like me to sit here and bitch about the fact that he's not playing when he does get in there a couple of times a week during a stretch and hits .149. Like, you know, so I'd love to see him play more, but I feel like they've just buried him.
All right, here's Elliot in Boston. Been waiting on Kyrie Irving. Elliot, thanks for holding on. What do you got?
I'm trying to blame someone for this non-committal, and I don't know why Danny Ainge isn't being questioned more, because given the report last year from Adrian Wojnarowski, it was that there was an understanding that the Celtics would give up the Nets pick for Kyrie because Kyrie was going to be here long term. So who lied to who? Did the agent lie to Ainge? Did Kyrie lie to the agent? Or what's going on? Because I look at this and I say, if you give up your two most prized assets last year, which were the Nets pick and Jay Crowder, which Danny Ainge sold extremely high on, and you get Kyrie Irving, and a year later, Kyrie doesn't know if he wants to be here going forward, then I need to blame somebody because I don't understand what the point was to cash in your asset on the superstar.
No, I got you for only a year. For only a year. Just going to cut you off. And Maz has a Kyrie Irving, developing Kyrie Irving insight that he'll give you later. But just on this, if Kyrie is non-committal, I don't blame the Celtics. Because I think he likes it here. Why wouldn't he? I think it might be a case if he just wants to be somewhere else. Like he's got it, just for example, he has it in his mind to go back home and be a Knick. Because that's what he grew up rooting for. And you just can't, you're that's not your fault, you're not the Knicks. Or, I don't know, like he wants to be in the movies too, like he already is, and wants to be closer to an entertainment center, and you're in Boston, he wants to be in Los, like just for example, I'm not saying that's where he wants to go. All I'm saying is that if he's non-committal, it has nothing to do with you. It is the fact that he just has had his eyes on somewhere else for a long time, and they just traded him here, and so he's waiting it out till he's a free agent.
Yeah, look, that could be. I mean, again, to me, it's the fact that he hasn't come out and said, no, listen, because it's been great. You know, I'm really happy here. Like, the fact that he hasn't come out and said that worries me, too. I worry about that, too.
But I don't think it's you. Like, I don't think it's anything you've done or anything that he doesn't like about here. What's not to like about here, unless he doesn't like Boston, but what the hell? You lived in Cleveland, dude, for 7 years. So this is Paris compared to Cleveland. So I don't think it's anything like that. It's just if he wants to be somewhere else, it's not because he's got a problem with you. Colin and Lynn on the Bruins. What do you got, Colin?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch on how many six-man defensemen the Bruins have. Yep. And then I also wanted to bring up David Krejci's terrible contract, and I heard the other day that the Bruins were trying to move Backes in his three-year, $6 million contract. I just want to hear what you guys thought on that.
Okay, I'll give you thoughts on all of them. They have too many six defensemen, too many third-pairing defensemen. They're just chock-full of third-pairing defensemen. So many guys that if they're on your third pair, I say you're pretty good. If Krug's on your third pair, you got a good decor. If Kevin Miller's on your third pair, you got a good decor. If McQuaid, Carlo, name them all, Greslick. You say those are your fifth and sixth defensemen, you got a good defense. When they're your third and your fourth, you're not good enough. And so that's the Bruins' problem, that second pair. And Carlo's a borderline second pair guy. Kevin Miller on a good day is a second pairing guy, but not, you know, I just think they need more there. And they've needed more there for a while. So that's still, I think, their number one need. In terms of Krejci and Backes, I find David Backes borderline untradeable. He's 30-something years old, slow as molasses, got 3 years left, full no movement, and coming off his umpteenth concussion. Who's going to take that for anything?
Nobody.
Zero. I think he has zero value across the league. I think the only way out from that is a buyout, which is going to leave some mark on your cap. Not the full price, but I can't remember what the percentages are, but that, I feel like there's no shot of trading David Backes. None. Zero. Krejci, apparently they've been getting calls on. And I would. I'm at a point where I would just dump him. I'd dump Krejci for a second-round pick and just get out of that salary. He's the highest-paid guy on the team at 7.25. Open up some room and some space for maybe that second-pairing defenseman. Open up ice time for another one of those good young forwards down in Providence and do that. That's what I would do. I don't know if they're of the mind to do it, though.
So can I add another name to the list?
Please.
Krug, if I were them, I would also look, because ultimately a lot of this comes down to money, right? And so you're paying Krug, what is it, $5 million, $5.25 or something like that? And you just signed Greslick, and, you know, not that they're apples to apples, but they're both small left shot defensemen, neither of whom should really be playing on a second pairing. So you know what? Move Krug, slide Greslick down, and fill that spot.
Boom.
I mean, to me, that's another option.
Okay, so apparently they're active this week. The draft's on Friday in hockey, so things percolating across the league. We'll see what the Bruins do. We can continue to talk about that. We will get to more Kyrie stuff. Again, Maz has a developing insight on that. We started with the Red Sox, so there's still plenty of meat on that bone as well. We want to give you a Brady follow as well. We'll do it right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
In an interview with Andrea Kramer of NFL Network, Jonathan Kraft was asked if he could ever envision a scenario in which he would have to tell you that you have to retire. And he said that you've earned the right to make that decision yourself, and I'm curious, you know, what does that latitude mean to you to hear that coming from him?
Why does everyone want me to retire so bad? I don't get it. I'm having fun. The team's doing good. I know I'm a little bit older than most of the other guys, but, you know, I'm really enjoying it. I obviously enjoy the experience of playing in this game. This has been, I mean, obviously a dream come true, you know, many times over. It takes a lot of hard work to get here. And our team, I think, is, you know, working hard. We had a good practice today. We're going to need a couple more good ones. We're playing against, you know, great football teams. So I'm not thinking about retirement. I'm thinking about the Super Bowl and trying to win the most important game of the year. And it's going to take a lot to do it.
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I would than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Again, another little before and after contrast. Tom Brady asked at the Super Bowl, how come everyone's asking me about retiring so much? How come everybody wants me to retire?
Like Belichick.
But you wonder why, Tommy. You wonder why. Because then you drop that stuff to Oprah. That's why. So anyway, again, the whole thing of Brady changing his tune. I'm playing to 40, you know, for years. I'm playing to 45. I'm playing to my mid-40s. I got all my answers. Why is everybody asking me about retiring? And then he gets to this offseason. It's like, yeah, I'm thinking about it more than I used to. It's coming sooner rather than later. So what's the turnabout? And, you know, if you're lucky, it's just about negotiating a contract and trying to leverage the Patriots, if you're lucky as a Patriots fan. Because if he's serious about it, if he's now examining how much longer he wants to play and how important his family is to him versus the time he's got to put into play football and all of this, and he's going to retire sooner than later, then it's over. So you better hope he's just leveraging the team and negotiating with the team. But we'll find out. We'll find out. I get the sense that's what it is. And I think the Pats should give in to him. This is what we discussed yesterday. I think the Pats should actually give in to him. But, we uncovered, it, thanks to one of Murray's online buddies there, that thing yesterday where Tom Brady puts a comment to that line he gave to Oprah saying 45 with the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil emoji next to it. And I was calling that emoji... What, monkey see, monkey do? I don't even get it. And this is why I rely on Murray. He's our social media liaison. You should have done more to define what that emoji meant, which Mike Reese does. Mike Reese does on ESPN Boston.
Oh. Yeah, Murray. You screwed up again.
He says, attached,
Google it, Murray.
Attached to the comment from Brady's verified Instagram account were three monkey emojis, which according to Unicode are the three wise monkeys of the proverb, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Emojipedia.org.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shame I didn't know what the hell that was. Well, go ahead.
Emojipedia.org also notes that the speak no evil monkey is, quote, sometimes used as a playful, I didn't want to say that expression, or to express, my lips are sealed, I won't say anything, sentiment. Brady's comment matches what he told ESPN senior writer Ian O'Connor in May of 2017 when he said, I always said my mid-40s, and naturally that means around 45. If I get there and I still feel like I do today, I don't see why I wouldn't want to continue. So up until the Oprah, well, this offseason, really, the end of Tom versus Time into this early offseason, he was always mid-40s, 45, and then we'll see. Like, I could even go beyond that. And then he gets to this offseason and Oprah, and it suddenly he's got to pick up his kid up at practice. And he's telling Oprah it's sooner rather than later. So obviously a big turn. But then, again, as we mentioned, that Oprah interview was weeks ago, over a month ago, right? Yesterday, he puts back out in Spanish for some reason.
45.
45. So has he turned back? Should we be encouraged by that comment yesterday?
I say no.
Yes.
See.
I mean, again,
So then why is he doing it?
I have no idea. I mean, it feels to me like he's been yanking everybody around all offseason. That's what I feel like. I told you. So I don't know what. And the other thing is,
do you think he would yank people around like that? Tease and hint that he's playing to 45 and then retire at 41? You think he would do that?
Well, I don't know. Would he, you know, tease or ploy to get a contract by saying he's going to walk?
Yes. No, that he would do.
Okay. So.
But this doesn't help the contract negotiation there.
Well, but doesn't it? Because what if the Patriots are taking the approach that you took? Why would I give you a contract extension if you're thinking about retirement? Well, I'm not. I'm actually thinking about playing till 45.
Oh, I still think 45 makes more sense if he's talking million, 45 million, because that's what I would ask to extend. That's what I would ask for the Patriots to keep going. I would ask for 45 fresh million dollars, 45 new million on top of the 30 he's owed over the next two. To me, that's a fair deal for Brady. I'd add 1 year to his contract, pay him a total of $75 million over the 3 years, 25 per. He's due 30, give him an extra 45, and there he is. Boom. So I still think when he says 45, 45 million makes more sense to me than age, but he's probably talking age because he's not going to be so bourgeois. He's not going to be so gauche and just come out ask for the money publicly like that. It means age, apparently.
Okay, but what about the whole Florio thing on Pro Football Talk and what the converse, what his theory was?
Why don't we get to that?
Okay, why don't we do that?
Why don't we, Maz? Did I cut and paste that?
Yeah. I believe you did.
Okay. Florio writes the following. Nana has to put on his glasses, as Murray likes to say. Florio says, I continue to believe that Brady relies on 45 as a way to avoid a Derek Jeter-style farewell tour, which would bring even more attention to Brady and which would place even more pressure on him as he works his way through a season of lasts. So he'll play until he's done, writes Florio, and when he's done, he'll be done. It could come after any and every given year, and there's a chance 2018 will end up being the last year. That's it in a nutshell. Basically, that he doesn't want to do the farewell tour, so he's going to continue to hint to 45 so no one asks him about it when he's 41.
Well, and then you don't have to deal with all the nonsense along the way, too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Where he gets, you know, gets a motorcycle at every stop.
Right, exactly. Like, who wants that? That's a, especially under, you know, a Belichick in this organization and what they stand for and trying to block out distractions. So I just wish I had thought of it yesterday. Like, but I told you to me, I don't think there's any guarantees with this guy. I feel as uncertain about his future. And when I say his future, I'm not talking about his playing ability. I'm talking about his desire to play and to put the time in and deal with the crap that comes with working for Bill.
Don't tell me he's turned into Brett Favre. Don't tell me he's doing this. I'm in. I'm out. Will I? Won't I? Hint here. Hint there. Don't tell me he's doing that.
Okay, so again, it's, you know,
I don't think he's doing that. I think...
I feel like he's already doing it.
I think this is what happened. I think that the Oprah broadcast was dated, that it wasn't an accurate reflection of where he felt that, where he feels today. It was accurate to where he felt at the time. And again, that was like 4 weeks ago. That was before the Milken thing. That was like the couple days before the Milken thing. So we're talking weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. And it's not up to date. And so now all the headlines are Brady sooner rather than later, Brady sooner rather than later, Brady sooner rather than later. So he felt the need to comment on one of those headlines.
So why wasn't he at OTAs?
Because he's leveraging the team.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of guys who missed OTAs over the across the league. Almost every single one is a contract beef. Almost every single one, if not every single one.
Okay.
Single one is a matter of a contract. He's not? No, it is.
Okay, so since when does he do that publicly?
Since he became a diva and a needy superstar, which he's become. But that's what he is.
Okay.
So he's become that.
So again, that's just not...
But he's still the greatest that not only that ever was, that pretty much is. It's him and Aaron Rodgers right now. So if I'm the Patriots, I give in to his needy diva behavior and his desire for more money, because that's actually a human emotion right there as well, and I give it to him and see if I can get the guy back.
So the difference between you and me is you think that the contract solves the problem, and I don't think it does, which is why I'm not giving it to him.
Goes a long way, because I know the contract is a piece to a bigger understanding. Like, they're not going to give him a contract and still have that Guerrero thing floating out there for Brady to pitch a fit over, or they're not going to give him a contract and have him miss, you know, 15 of 18 spring practices. Like, they're not, no. It's going to, if he gets that money and gets that contract, it's going to come with an agreement on Guerrero. It's going to come with an agreement on what's expected of him in the offseason. And it's all going to be wrapped up into one neat bow. So that's what that represents to me.
Sure. No. I understand what you're saying, that it's not purely about the money. So again, and I'll ask you the same question I asked you yesterday. If he had to pick between Guerrero and money, and Kraft said to him, you get one but not the other, which one do you want?
He would take the contract first.
Oh, I disagree. I think he takes Guerrero first. I totally think he takes Guerrero first. And which is why, again, ultimately, I don't think it's about the money. And I also look at it from the standpoint of, Tom, how much ass-kissing do we have to do here to make you happy? And does that then guarantee you anything? Because I don't think it does. I feel like Brady is starting to check out. So I'm not giving it to him. I think he's bluffing.
I think he's feigning the checkout because he wants more money, like everybody else. You're not going to pay me? I'm not going to show up. Oldest thing in the book. Like, but somehow we think he's above that.
So I would challenge him to turn his back on Kraft after Kraft got Garoppolo to, made the decision on Garoppolo, or at least contributed to it. So now we got to give you more?
Yep.
You want more?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, or are you going to retire? Okay, go ahead, retire. I'd call his bluff.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your phones. Everything on the table here. Mike in Middleborough on the Red Sox. Hi, Michael.
Yes, how you doing, Mike?
Good.
Maz, I got a question for you. How do you feel about the confidence in not just Bradley, but the whole back of the order with men on base?
You know, Mike, I hate it. I mean, again, but part of the problem is right now that they don't have a bench. So at least not if they want to use, they don't want to use Swihart. Another guy that they have is the catcher, in this case, Vasquez. They're only carrying 12 positional players. With Pedroia out, like, who do you want to hit? There aren't many choices there, so they're limited there, too. So I hate it. Like, to me, I told you last night, I'd hit for Bradley. Man on first, two outs, 2-2 game in the eighth, hit for him. He's useless.
182.
He's giving you nothing offensively.
God. Just brutal.
So like, even in that, like, normally you'd say you wouldn't hit for a guy until the runner's maybe in scoring position. I'd hit for him in that spot. I think he's an automatic out.
Phil in Boston with an NBA thought. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Seeing that Kyrie can walk after the season, it got me to thinking, if I could have any player in the NBA, regardless of current situation, for a Celtics 5-year Supermax contract, for me, it would be Anthony Davis. Would you guys agree?
I think Danny Ainge would agree. I think Danny Ainge would agree.
Okay, awesome. So next year at this time, Anthony Davis will have 1 year left on his deal, and everyone will be talking about him. Do you think it's more likely New Orleans holds on to him, hoping he doesn't leave via free agency, or do you think it's more likely they will trade him for a king's ransom with 1 year left on his deal?
I don't think they're going to trade him.
I don't know why they would.
Well, so
I mean, especially because they had some success now, and sort of the arrow's pointing up finally for the first time since he got there.
So the reason they would trade him is because he doesn't want to be there.
Okay, but why would he not want to be there if they're starting to win?
Okay, so again, that sort of puts pressure on this coming year then, doesn't it? Like, to me, he's going to decide it, just like every other great player in that league decides it. Like, to me, that's what it comes down to, is he could force the issue. You waited out, maybe.
Matt in Quincy on the Red Sox. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Just give me 25 seconds, a statement and open questions that are related. All right, so Jackie Bradley, I don't understand why they can't just DFA him, do what they did to Hanley, or maybe dangle him out to a West Coast team. He's got 4 home runs. I don't think any of them are on the East Coast. I think they're all on the West Coast. And for the bullpen, I'm a little worried Joe Kelly in the playoffs, and I'm a little worried that they don't even have enough to go get an eighth inning guy for Joe Kelly. And why isn't Joe Kelly or Matt Barnes pitching last night in the eighth inning? You tie the game and you bring up Robbie Scott for his debut in a game like that? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
We'll start with the last thing we hit on that to lead off the show.
He's 100% right. Caller's right.
The entire bullpen was available. The entire bullpen was rested. There was no game the day before. Everyone, other than Matt Barnes, had at least 4 days rest out there. All the relevant guys had at least 4 days rest. You have the number 9 hitter and then 2 lefties coming up. And Alex Cora goes with a guy who just got here from Pawtucket in his first major league outing of the season.
Correct.
Brutal.
Yeah, I mean, just horrible, horrible decision. And a guy on top of it who, when he's right, strikes out people by getting him to chase balls out of the strike zone. So the point being, if they lay off, and this struck me during the Joe Mauer at-bat last night, because Mauer laid off. He was down 0-2, and they were breaking balls away, and he didn't swing. Because Mauer knows. Mauer's a smart hitter. He's got nothing left. Hasn't had anything for a long time. But he's a smart hitter and always has been. He said, I'm not going to chase. This guy can't throw his breaking ball for a strike in the out part of the plate. Why would I swing at it? And then he ultimately gets hit by a pitch and he gets on base. So, like, to me, Scott is asking for a walk. So he walked the lead. Walked the lead off me and hit Mauer. Now, here you go. Here we go. Off to the races.
The other thing about Joe Kelly in the eighth, the scary part is not that Joe Kelly's in the eighth. It's the other thing the caller said. They have nothing to improve the spot. Nothing.
Scary!
So, I don't know how they get that premium reliever unless they're trading something off the major league roster. So,
Like, I'd use Jackie Bradley. So calling it, tying up his entire call, he said, just DFA Jackie Bradley. I'm not DFAing Jackie Bradley. I think, like the Bruins defense corps, if Jackie Bradley is your fourth outfielder, you've got a good outfield. Like, that's a good fourth outfielder. Great defensive replacement. He's got a little bit of pop if he's hitting. He's a functional pinch hitter.
I mean, to me, it's exactly, he's a great fourth outfielder.
He's a good fourth outfielder on a good team. He'd be a good National League ball player. Like, he's a National League kind of ball player on one of those middling, you know, the National League blows. He could find a starting job even on a good National League team. He's a fourth outfielder on a good American League team. He's a National League player. He still has value. So I'm not giving him up for nothing. Does he have options? Could you send him down if you wanted to?
I believe he does have options.
So you don't even need to DFA him.
No, you could send him to the minor leagues.
Okay, but I'm not even doing that. I want him on my bench. Good bench player. And, you know, there's some nerd idiot somewhere who'll tell you. I mean, we read you the story that he's more valuable than Jose Abreu. So find some nerd idiot team that's got employs a bunch of nerds on the second floor who will tell you that his UZR outweighs his 182 batting average and deal him. I'm not DFAing that guy.
No. You don't give him away. At worst, you stick him on the bench and bring him in for defense in the late innings.
Exactly.
Like, there's value there. He could, you know, come off the bench, and which is why you could play Benintendi in center, play Holt or Swihart in left, see if he can get any offense out of those guys. With Holt, though, you know that over the long haul, he's going to wear out and he's not going to be as good. Nonetheless, whatever, take a shot. And then if you're ahead, you bring Bradley in the late innings, you move Benintendi back. No problem. Piece of cake.
It's the Cam and Taunton thought of the day back on Brady. Go ahead, Cam.
Maz, I mean, look, I get where you're coming from. Oh, I want to stick to what the Patriots have always been. Maz, what the Patriots have always been is gone.
Gone.
There was a power struggle between the coach and the quarterback, and the owner sided with the quarterback. Brady's more powerful than Belichick now. Tom Brady runs the New England Patriots, not Bill Belichick. So I understand that usually doesn't work in football, and Brady's acting like LeBron. But that's the situation they're in. And that's why I'm prepared to give Brady what Brady wants a contract. You get it. You want Guerrero back? You get it. If you want Josh, you get Josh. I know it's crazy, but I'd rather have them win than Bill or Brady bury the other one, because that's what the best interest of everybody is, that they're still a good team, and right now what makes them a good team is keeping Brady happy. Brady won, Maz. I'm sorry.
Okay, yep. So Cam, listen, he did win.
Maz, they had a structure in place. They had a good program, and then there was, Matthew, what was there? There was a Palace Q.
Whatever Brady wants.
And now there's a whole new regime.
Brady gets.
And the way that this regime runs is not built to last, and it's no way I'd want to run a team, but it is what it is.
Okay, so again, the fundamental question here at the end of the day, or the real key question is, do you believe Brady would walk if he doesn't get Guerrero and his money?
Yes.
Sooner, I don't.
Sooner than he would. How's that? Sooner than he would. And he'll continue to not show up in the offseason, which I think is just bad form. No way to run a team, to have passing camps where the quarterback won't show up. That's just a recipe for disaster. And I think he'll do what he's doing now, and he'll just peter out. And you won't get the most out of him. You won't get the most out of your team when he's willing to come back in if you just take care of him. So screw it. It's over. He won the power struggle. There was a palace queue. There was a mutiny. So it's over. Give him what he wants, and let's maximize the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I just don't think that giving him what he wants necessarily solves the problem. That's what I'm telling you. All of a sudden, what? Giving Brady money and Guerrero back makes him committed again?
I think it will, yeah.
Okay, I don't. And so I look at it and say, let's give him more power, and he can screw off even more. And even if he does show up at OTAs, is it still going to be the same lack of commitment in terms of, you know, focus and everything else? I wonder. I'm not doing it. I'm not. No, look, they might.
Because Mass has made it personal, right, mm-hmm. Murray? I mean, we've established this.
Because a certain Italian quarterback is no longer here.
No, you meant the Italian Osweiler.
Yeah.
Is what you meant to say, Murray. Yeah, no, I know how you're thinking of it. I'm not doing it. Sorry. I think he's bluffing. So the owner went to bat for him. He won the power struggle. Great. Then turn your back on the owner. Walk out. But you, unlike Cam, you don't believe that you should go so far as to fire Belichick.
No, I stopped there. Because I actually, frankly, think this has hastened Bill's departure anyway. They don't have to get rid of Bill. He's done after this year. So, like, they don't. Maybe Brady's already affected that sort of change, and now we're losing Bill a year earlier than we would have, or 2 or 3 years earlier than we would have, which sucks. I don't endorse, but here's where we are. This is what it is. So I can have no Bill and no Brady, or I can have no Bill and Brady fully committed with a little extra money and a little something on his trainer. So I'm going to take what's behind door letter B.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not. Again, to me, the whole reason the thing worked was because you had the two of them. They had a solution, of course, but they blew that.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He has a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome. For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. It seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing.
I like to play Fortnite forever, then blame my numb hand on the cold weather. Let's play Fortnite forever now. I wanna play Fortnite forever. Until my hands go numb and I miss my next start. I wanna play Fortnite forever. As soon as we're off the plane, I fire up the Xbox. I wanna play Fortnite forever. This is so fun.
Again, more crankiness from David Price yesterday in Minnesota in advance of tonight's start. And you just wonder, just that martyr complex. What a martyr. But could he also just be cranky because they took away the video game console, Murray?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
He's fiending. He's going through withdrawals.
He's pouting because you took the baby's video game away.
Got these cold sweats. I can't sleep. I'm cramping up. I need my games.
Bro. Tremors.
Yeah.
I'm shaking, man.
I'm doubled over. I'm puking into a bucket.
But you think kind of a big night for him here, Mavs?
I just think that, you know, when you have a bad loss like the night before, it always becomes the starting pitcher the next day. And so here you go. Your bullpen blew it in the eighth inning. You had a bit of a meltdown there. So now Price is getting the ball. He's on a roll. Like, what if this is the night he reverts? That's all I'm saying. It just, here we go again. Like, to me, I'm just now starting to gain a little bit of confidence in him as a pitcher again.
Well, don't we have a Yankee game coming up with him? I think he's...
like 10 days.
I think his...
as long as he doesn't miss a start, he'll pitch the Sunday night game against the Yankees.
is that here or New York?
I'm not sure.
I'll double check it. I thought the series coming up was here, but I'll double check it.
So, Sunday the 1st. I think he's slated to pitch Sunday the 1st, as Jimmy just said, Sunday night baseball against the Yankees.
Oh.
So maybe he's starting the...
bright lights, big spot.
I got an owie.
But again, we played you the sound earlier. We'll play you it again. He's got a little, it's just the PUD.
It's in New York.
The PUD thing came going a little bit with Price for no reason. Yes, no reason. Just got bitchy with the media. And, I don't know. Got the Yankees coming up the turn after next. So that'll be a nice little fence post, signpost for him. See where we go. See, you know, just see how serious this is.
I mean, he's due for another skid, right? Like, he's not the kind of guy that you can have a lot of confidence in based on how the whole Boston experience is gone.
Oh, does he hate it here? He still hates it. Hates it to death. Mike in Nashua on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. You've been talking about how bad Bradley's been this season, but, I mean, really, we can look further back to reinforce that this just isn't a slump or a bad month or two. First, if you go back to the start of 2017 till now, he's .226. That's just not good enough to be a large market American League center fielder.
Right.
Agreed.
Second point, and this one is really stunning. Since the All-Star break last year, he's .193. So how many full-time players are ever allowed to go for spans of 450 at-bats where they hit under .200?
I can't figure it. And, Mike, Maz looked it up earlier, qualifying hitters. So, you know, guys who would qualify for
the batting title, meaning the regular players who get enough at-bats.
So, and what is that? Is that playing 75% of the time?
Yeah, it's based on 3.1 plate appearances a game. So if you get
75%, roughly.
Yeah, somewhere in there is about right. I mean, you end up with 502, I think it is, for a season, you qualify, and,
Okay, so among qualified hitters, so everyday players, he ranks in OPS 82 out of 84, and in batting average 83 out of 84?
Correct.
So, you know,
and the only in OPS, the only two guys behind him are Alcides Escobar, who's a shortstop, and Chris Davis, again, who's a bum. And in batting average, Davis is the only one behind him. Davis is the worst offensive player in the American League this year. Bradley second. I mean, fact. I'm just giving you the numbers. Fact.
We've got Linda in Texas on the Patriots. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
First, I want to say I love your show. I love all you guys. My husband was up there on business and came home and said, there's this channel you'd probably like. Put it on a year ago and never turn y'all off.
Tremendous, Linda.
I wanted to make a comment about the Tom Brady deal. Okay. I don't know where to start on that guy. I agree with all of you about, oh, he didn't have kids last year? Wait a minute. Like Felger said the other day, you can't say anything bad about the kids. You want to pick up the kids? Okay. What happened years ago when Brady was sitting on the bench behind Bledsoe? He got to play. He got in. You know, Bledsoe stuck around, then they got rid of him. Why did they have to get rid of Jimmy G? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, so here's the difference, Linda. Drew Bledsoe sucked. Bledsoe sucked. And Brady's still the best in the game, or at worst, second. So, big difference there. Big difference. But the using the kids thing is I think, a bad look, man. It's like, if you
cowardly.
If you want a new contract, just say it. If you want to leverage the team, just say it. But anytime any athlete uses a kid just sort of to shield themselves or to obscure true motives, it's just weaselly. Because again, like,
no, that's one, there for everybody.
Yeah, and it's a shield. I mean, you once you say, well, my family's become more important to me and I want to be there for my family. Well, you got to be some kind of a-hole to say, oh, that doesn't matter. And look, I try. Like, I go as far as I want to with that. But you just can't, when you say, well, it's about the kids, well, then you have to stand down. You can't. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just a shield. When all he wants is his contract and his trainer back. So why don't you just stick with that as opposed to stuff with the kids? Because last year your kids were still going to practice, and I didn't hear one word about you needing to pick them up at practice. So either, again, you've had this giant epiphany, and you've just realized this overnight, or you're leveraging the team for something and using the kids as sort of a shield or a ploy to get it, which is bad form for
them. I think it's cowardly. That's what I think. And look, honestly, there might be a measure of truth in it, which, again, which I just look at the whole thing and I call his bluff. Because, again, if I'm Kraft at this stage, Tom, we've had a personal relationship. I went to bat for you. Now you're going to do this? I don't think at the end of the day, Brady has the balls to turn his back on Kraft.
Here's Mike in Rhode Island with a comment line that I just don't see very often. He says, Maz is the best thing that happened to Boston.
Smart guy.
Yeah. Mike in Rhode Island, go.
How you doing? I say that tongue-in-cheek. First of all, I love your show. But what I mean by that is every time that Maz has a negative thing to say about a team or a player, they go crazy. So, in fact, tonight I'm taking 500 and I'm going to put it on the Red Sox. That's number one.
Good move.
Number two. They were, I forgot what year, I think they were 2-2. He had Brady written off. They end up winning the Super Bowl. He talked about the Celtics not getting out of the first round this year. The kids are too young, not enough experience. They were one game away from going to the finals. So what I mean by it is every time he talks negative about a team, they end up doing just the opposite of what he says.
So, Mike, you bet the Pats. So you must have bet the Pats in the Super Bowl.
I did.
Yeah. You lost.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
No, that wasn't this year.
Oh,
the year that they were 2-2. You know, I'm not a gambler. But my point is, and when I say it facetiously about the Red Sox tonight, but it seems that every time, Maz, you go negative on a team, you said, "Oh, there's no good teams in baseball.
Right.
Let's see how they do on this road trip. They're going to play Seattle, some of the better teams. They lost the first two games. Oh, see how I did." And two games later, they were 2-2.
You got that kind of sort of right. I don't think you've predicted tonight's game.
No, I haven't. I just said it's kind of a big spot for Price.
It is.
Yeah, and then that if he, you know, reverts, if this is the night that he reverts, after they blow a game the night before, it's just one of those that kind of cut your legs out a little bit.
All I'm saying about Price is that he was acting like a tool yesterday for no real reason other than he's a martyr. Or he's cranky because Daddy took away the video game console, which to me is just notable and worth discussing, and so we discuss. Let's see tonight. And he's got the Yankees coming up in the next turn.
So
let's see how that works out, too.
So just to clarify, he wants to shove the Patriots from 2014 down my throat. But the Patriots from 4 months ago, he doesn't remember?
He must have been on vacation or
so
something.
So he's going back 4 years instead of 4 months. Who's really the negative guy?
I would say that Mike's in Rhode Island. That's
so would
Michael
I.
Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, so would I. Going back 4 years to find something negative.
The latest on the NBA draft, rumor mongering, Celtics involvement with, Kawhi Leonard moving up the board, all of this. The very latest Rafter Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.